Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Tuesday, June 27th. Do you know what day it is? It's Slate Sports Week. Hello and welcome to another day in sports betting. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me at Doug_Reed34 on Twitter. Always happy to get any feedback, thoughts, or interaction, any questions you have. And if you don't mind going to your podcast provider and rate and review the show, that would greatly help me and help our crew at Sports Ethos get some more traction for another one of our litany of podcasts. If you haven't already, go to sportsethos.com and check out all of our stuff. There are lots of free stuff, lots of very reasonable membership prices across every sport. We just renewed restarted our fantasy football podcast. Today, we're going to be going 3 days a week for the next month or two. A lot of interesting stuff going on there. Baseball, obviously, basketball, college sports going to be heating up in the summer months. Lots of stuff going on, so I definitely recommend checking us out. Before we get to today's slate, which is all baseball, 15 games, so a couple of them are off the board. It's a walk down memory lane in this day in sports history. A couple birthdays, Jim Edmonds of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. When he played, they were the LA Angels of Anaheim, referred to as. He turns 53 today. And Bobby Wagner of the Seattle Seahawks is 33 years old today. Back in 1986, Robbie Thompson of the San Francisco Giants had the distinction of being caught stealing four times in one game. Pretty sure that is a record. It was a record then. I don't think that's been broken. And can't imagine how it will be four times in one game. Somebody should have put the red light sign up. 1998 in boxing. I think I actually remember this. Mike Tyson KO'd Michael Spinks in 90 seconds. I don't think that was as fast as a knockout either, but wasn't much of a fight there for Mr. Spinks. And then an interesting fact that happened twice on this day, in 1983 and in 1998, two Major League Baseball teams batted out of order. In 83, the Seattle Mariners batted out of order in the second inning against the White Sox. And then 5 years later, in 88, Cincinnati bats out of order against San Diego in the first inning. I'd imagine somebody got a blast for that, whether it be the manager from above or players who are just not paying attention. Should be that hard to stay as a major leaguer in the proper batting order. That's Little League stuff. But anyway, so tough. This day in 1998 in the NHL, Vincent LeCavalier was drafted first overall to Tampa Bay. Went on to have a great career with Tampa. I think he ended with the Montreal Canadiens for a bit, but was a great player, very classy player, and a great player. 2013, in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers drafted Anthony Bennett, number one overall, and had a bit of a run in the NBA, but I think that would have to be considered a bust. not so much because of his career, but because he was number one overall. That was a tough break for the Cavs. So obviously he rebounded after that and won a few championships with LeBron and friends, but that was not a good look for them that year. So that is a quick down, jaunt down memory lane. Let's get to the baseball board. Start Pittsburgh, where the Pirates are hosting the San Diego Padres. You can get the road Padres as the favorites at -170 in the money line, home +140. Total here is 8.5, choose to the over at -115. I'm seeing most of the money come in the over. I think that came in more when it was at 9. That's been brought down a little bit. Yeah, I see about 56% of the bets, but 86% of the money on the under. But I think most of that came in at 9. If anything, I would lean to the 8.5, even if it's choosing -115. On the hill for San Diego is Yu Darvish and Rich Hill for the Pirates. Darvish comes in with a 4.123 whip, not having his typical season, although 85 strikeouts in 80 innings. Rich Hill has had his numbers don't look great, but this is a hell of a season for Rich Hill at this stage of his career. 83 innings, 4.34 ERA, 76 strikeouts, and a 1.37 whip. When we dig a little deeper, he's actually been, I guess you could say, kind of at his numbers. 4.34 ERA, but a 5.44 whip. But his fifth is 4.35. That indicates he's probably right about where he should be. Just an 8.24 K per nine. Not the strikeout guy that he used to be. Darvish, on the other hand, has been a victim of bad luck. 4.84 ERA, but a 3.62 expected ERA. So well over a run less. And a 3.86, so almost a run less. Actually, 0.98 of a run less FIP. So he has been the victim of bad luck. 9.56 K per nine, which is good. A little below his career average of 10.75, though. And thing with Darvish is they say he has like 8 pitches in his repertoire, and he always seems to do this. He'll have in his last 4 or 5 years, he seems to have two or three months brutal, and then he's just lights out after that. So a lot of people are waiting for the switch to go on. I'm waiting for that too. Really for the whole Padres team. Can't lay -170. On the run line, -110. Don't want to lay that. They're on the road, so that's probably the way to go. But I don't really want to lay a negative run line in a game like that. The Pirates are slumping, and I like the Padres here, but just too big a money line and too big a run line, even with Darvish, who I believe is due for some positive regression. If anything, I would look to the under 8.5 and maybe a slight lean to the run line. Can take a quick break and get back to the rest of the games on the...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's head to Baltimore, where the O's host the Cincinnati Reds. Baltimore comes in a -140 favorite on the money line, +120 for the road. Reds, 8.5, juice to the over at -120. So runs are expected to be scored. If anything, I might look to the under. I'm going to wait and see if this game gets to 9. I think I'm going to look to the under here. And you can get the home Orioles on the run line at +145. Not going to touch that. For Cincinnati, Andrew Abbott gets a start, the young lefty. Perfect 3-0 record, just 23 2/3 innings, 1.14 ERA, 0.97 whip. Has looked good out of the gates for sure. Righty Tyler Wells is having a good season as well. 6-3, but 86 2/3 innings, 3.22 ERA, 88 strikeouts, and a 0.89 whip. Now, when I look at Wells even deeper, he's probably due for some negative regression, been a little fortunate, but still decent numbers. 3.22 ERA, but a 3.54 expected ERA and a 4.63 FIP. Also has a 9.14 K per nine. So he's been pitching well. They're at home in Camden Yards, definitely a pitcher's park. And as hot as the Reds have been, losing tonight to Baltimore, but I think winners of 10 of their last 12. And they've certainly turned a corner, leading the NL Central. Everybody loves the Reds right now. I'm just not really sure that I can back them against the O's because the O's are trailing Tampa Bay, but you could argue the O's are second, third, fourth best team in baseball right now, the way they're playing. Abbott comes in with a sparkling, as I said, 1.14 ERA, but his expected ERA is 3.39 and a FIP, if even worse, at 4.2. So definitely some regression expected. Now, does it happen tonight in Camden Yards? I'm not sure it does. But I do like Wells as a better pitcher. -140 on the money line is a decent price for Baltimore. When I look how Baltimore has done against lefties, batting average of .257, which is kind of mid-pack, 13th overall. On-base percentage of .335, puts them a little bit better than that, 8th overall, and a slugging of .424, which puts them 11th. So kind of top third, right around the top third in all major categories against lefties. When I look at the WRC plus, let me just pull this up here, on the season against lefties, Baltimore sits at, sorry, I thought I had this up. Baltimore's WRC plus, where are you, Baltimore? There we go. 8th overall at 112. So WRC plus is basically a scale of 100 is league average. They're 12% above league average. So hit lefties well, as I said, right around the top third range. I like Baltimore. I'm not sure I like laying -140. That's probably the play. And they're at home, pretty juicy run line. And I think they can get to Abbott, who has pitched well, and 22 strikeouts and 23rd and two innings. So strikeout and inning kind of guy. But not sure I really want to lay that -140. If it was -125, -130, I'd probably be on it. But definitely a lean towards Wells and the Orioles tonight. A couple games are off the board. Right now, I see two games off the board, so I'm just going to quickly touch on those. The Giants start a series in Toronto against the Jays. And I see for the Giants, Ryan Walker starting. And to be determined for Toronto, although I see another side that says Kevin Gausman. So if Gausman is pitching, they're definitely a clear favorite. If it's a TBD, that means that's the Alec Manoah spot, which for some reason they haven't filled in. It's going to be a bullpen game. San Fran's been hot. Jays been doing decent lately. I'd probably lean the Jays regardless. If Gausman's on the mound, definitely lean the Jays, but they're going to kind of probably come in along a -140, -150 if he is. If it's a bullpen game, I could see this opening because it's in Toronto, maybe one -115, -120 for the Jays. I'd probably lean that way. The next game is in Texas where the Tigers continue their series. I see Martin Perez on the hill for Texas, and I see a TBD for the Tigers. So that may be a bullpen game as well. As I scroll down, I don't see a starter anywhere really for Texas. Although it does – oh, sorry, I see Matt Manning, so coming off the DL. No, sorry, coming back to pitch. He's only pitched 11 and two-thirds innings this year. If it is Manning, I would still lean Texas, although Detroit won 7-2 tonight over Texas. Perez has not pitched well, but Detroit struggles against everybody, and Matt Manning, good prospect – first-round pick a few years back, but hasn't really lived up to the billing, has really struggled with control. So I would need to see it from him. I think this game opens Texas -130, maybe even -140, if not more. I wouldn't lay that much with Perez because he's really struggled this year. 84 and a third innings, 4.38 ERA, 1.45 whip. So I'm not going to back him. The luster seems to come off him from what he's done in the last couple years. So two games that are off the board. I'm going to skip on those. Next game up in New York, where the Metropolitans host the Brewers. And I think this is a very interesting game. Not really sure where to go yet, but Mets come in at -140 in the money line. The road Brewers at +120. Total here is 9, juice -110 both sides. And you get the Mets run line at +135. For the road Brewers, Julio Teheran is on the hill. 35 and a third innings, 1.53 ERA, 0.88 whip. But when you dig a little deeper, due for some negative regression for sure, he comes in with a 3.29 expected ERA versus a 1.53 ERA, so almost double, and 3.92 FIP, so even worse. So he is definitely due for some negative regression. Been a good story for sure this year, but definitely pitching above his peripherals. Another, David Peterson, a 1-6 record, which is brutal. 39 innings, 8.08 ERA, and a 1.74 whip. Now, is he due from some positive regression? Yes, he is, a lot, because his expected ERA is 5.17 and a FIP of 4.78. But even those numbers aren't very good. The angle here, though, and that's why the Mets are such large favorites, and can't really back him at -140. But if you listen to my show before, you know Milwaukee is terrible against lefties. So against left-handed hitters, left-handed pitching this year, Milwaukee has the worst batting average at .216. The 27th, so the fourth worst on base at 297 and the worst slugging at 350. Their WRC plus is 79, so 21% below league average when facing lefties, which is the second worst in baseball. The flip side is the Mets are slightly below average against righties. 239 batting average is 20th. 321 on base is 15th, so right in the middle. And a 391 slugging is 18th. The WRC plus of 103, so slightly above league average, which puts them at 12th overall. So you'd like to think the Mets are due, or not due, but have a good chance at winning. And I was even minus 140. The market thinks that as well. Peterson just scares me. His numbers have not been good. And I'm not really sure that he's due for some regression for sure, some positive regression. But, you know, getting to an ERA of 5 and a FIP of just below that isn't all that great. He's been hit hard pretty consistently. Last game out, 5 innings against the Nationals, 9 innings, 6 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Against the Reds, this is back in May 9th, though. So this is his first start in quite a while. And this is when the Reds were still quite cold. 3 and a third innings, 7 hits, 4 earned runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Prior to that, against the Braves, 5 innings, 4 earned runs. Before that, against the Giants, 5 innings, 7 earned runs. Prior to that, 6 innings against the Dodgers, 7 hits, 6 earned runs. He's been getting rocked. And, yeah, Milwaukee is terrible against lefties, but this is a pretty bad lefty right now. So I'm not really sure where to go. I want to back the Mets because Milwaukee is so bad against lefties, and I think Teheran is in for some negative regression. But I don't think I can get behind Peterson. I mean, he's a better pitcher than that. His career is fantastic, but they've definitely been better than that. So probably stay away from me. And when I look at where the money's going, open at 8.5. It's at 9 right now, the total. So I see 52% of the money, 87% of the – sorry, 52% of the bets, 87% of the money on the over. I just don't know how much the Brewers can really help that total out. They have to get to Peterson for 4 or 5 runs, and the Mets can get to old Julio for 4 or 5 as well. I'm not sure that's going to happen. So lean the Mets, but a stay away for me so far. Now, the next game is game I am on in Boston, where the Red Sox host the Miami Marlins. The Sox are at minus 115. I got them earlier on FanDuel at minus 104. I would actually play this at minus 115 or better. The Marlins minus 105 in the road. Total here is 9. Juice to the over at minus 120. You can get, the over here at minus 120. When I look at where the money's coming in, on the Red Sox money line, 57% of the bets, but 84% of the money is coming in. And on the over, open at 9, still at 9, 52% of the bets, but 87% of the money coming in on the over. And here's, well, let's get to the pitchers, but I'll get to why when we break. For Miami, their ace of last year and Cy Young Award winner, but struggling this year, Sandy Alcantara, the righty on the hill, 95 and two-thirds innings, 5.08 ERA, 1.25 and just 78 strikeouts in 95 and two-thirds. Never been a big strikeout pitcher, but usually a little better than that. Due for some regression for sure, 4.22 expected ERA and a 3.76 FIP, but has been struggling. On the flip side, Garrett Whitlock comes in for the Bo Sox. Just 46 innings, 4.5 ERA, 1.22 whip, and 39 strikeouts. Been pitching well, a little better lately. Comes in with a 4.34 expected ERA and a 4.07 whip. So, in fact, could probably some positive regression there for him as well. But definitely Alcantara is expected to get better. But he has been struggling consistently. And when I look at how these teams have done against righties, Miami is batting average of 250, 15th overall. The Red Sox, 259, 8th overall. Miami's on-base percentage, 314, is 18th overall. The Red Sox, 324, 14th overall. Slugging percentage for Miami, 383, 21st overall. And the Red Sox, 426, 11th overall. So definitely lean towards the Sox bats. WRC plus for Boston, 102, 13th and best in the league and against righties. And for Miami, their WRC plus against righties is 92, 21st in the league. The telling stat, though, for me, so all that leads me to Boston. Whitlock's been pitching well. Alcantara has not. Is he a better pitcher? Sure. But until he gets out of this funk, I can't really back him. And at home, the Red Sox have definitely been better this year. They are the third best WRC plus at 121, so 21% above league average when at home, When on the road, Miami has a 93 WRC plus, so 17th, so slightly better. 7% worse than league average, but 17th in the league. So I like the Boston bats. I like the way Whitlock's pitching right now, and I don't like the way Alcantara's pitching. Hence my take of Boston on the money line. Like I said, I got it early at 104, minus 104. I would play this anything to minus 115. And if anything, I would lean to the over. It's juiced to minus 120, so probably going to 9.5 maybe by the time you hear this. But search around. If you can get it at 9, I think I would lean to the over in this game as well, as both teams could score, and Boston could definitely score at home. 7:20 in the East is the next game. Minnesota Twins are in Atlanta to play the Braves. The home Braves minus 150 on the money line. The road Twins plus 130. Total here is 9, juiced both sides at minus 110. I don't see a lot of money coming either way. I do see some money coming in the Atlanta run line, but that is plus 135. I see 69% of the bets and 96% of the money coming in on the run line. So that may be a play to look at. Pitching matchup, two righties on the hill. Joe Ryan, 93 and two-thirds, 2.98 ERA, 0.9 whip, and 100 strikeouts. Been a very good year. And 2.44 expected ERA, 2.79 FIP. So he could even do better, surprisingly, looking at his stats. However, he is facing a tough team in the Braves. On the flip side, Bryce Elder for Atlanta, 90 innings, 2.40 ERA, just 75 strikeouts, 1.11 whip. Having a good year, due for some negative regression. I've been saying that for a while, but it just doesn't seem to be happening. So this could be just a guy who just continues to outperform, which some pitchers do over a course of a year, outperform his underlying numbers. So 2.40 ERA, but a 3.78 expected ERA and a 3.72 FIP. So over a run, 1.3, almost 1.4 better than his expected numbers. So doing quite well. I do favor the Braves purely because of their lineup. And against righties, here are some numbers. The triple slash lines, their batting average for Minnesota, 236, 21st in baseball. The Braves, 261, 7th in baseball. On base, 315 for Minnesota, 17th best. For the Braves, 336 is 3rd best. Slugging percentage, 410 for Minnesota, 14th best. So kind of league average. For the Braves, 465, the best in baseball. WRC plus against righties, the Braves are 115, 3rd best in baseball. And this is actually surprising. Minnesota is 104, so 4% better than league average and the 10th best in baseball. So they've been doing all right. Kind of, you know, the triple slash numbers slightly below average, but call it roughly average in the league. And the Braves have been crushing everybody. So I like the Braves. Don't want to wait minus 150. The plus 135 run line might be the way to go. I just don't know if Joe Ryan's going to get hit around. So if anything, I might also look to the under. The under 9, I think both pitchers have been doing well. And I think Elder should be able to hold the Twins down. And it's just a matter of whether the Braves can get to Ryan. And the way Ryan's pitching, he should be able to help hold them in check. He can hold them to 4 or 5 runs, even if the Braves, not him, but him in the bullpen, which is a little weaker. But if they can hold them down, I'm not really sure the Twins can get to Elder and the Braves for 4 or 5 on their side. So probably an under 9 or maybe that run line of plus 135, which is looking a little juicy. Next game is in St. Louis, where the Cards host the Houston Astros at 7:45. You can get the road Astros as the favorites at minus 115, the home Cardinals minus 105. I jumped on Houston at minus 110 earlier today. Total here is 8, juiced to the over at minus 115. So obviously a few runs expected to be scored. And you can get the Astros on the run line at plus 130. And that's really the only area that I see the money coming in. 67% of the bets, 99% of the money coming in on the Stros. 99% is a little odd. So maybe a little too early to get a good feel for that. Two very evenly matched teams. I think the difference is the pitching here. Two lefties coming in. Framber Valdez for Houston, 99 innings, 2.27 ERA, 104 strikeouts, and even 1.00 whip. Now, definitely due for some regression, his metrics show, as a 3.72 ERA, so 1.4, roughly, run and a half, let's call it, expected ERA worse, but a 2.71 whip. So somewhere between that expected ERA and ERA falls hit, sorry, not whip, is FIP. So maybe some negative regression due there. On the flip side, we Montgomery, who seems to righted the ship lately. He really struggled out of the gate, but 85 and a third innings, 3.69 ERA, just 79 strikeouts and a 1.29 whip. He comes in with a 3.94 expected ERA, so has outperformed has outperformed what his expected ERA shows, but a 3.48 FIP, which is actually better than his ERA. So he's probably doing about what should be expected for him. When I look at what these teams do against lefties, neither holds a huge advantage. Both are basically league average. Houston, 254 batting average, which is 13th. St. Louis, here's an odd one. St. Louis is 17th in the league in all three triple slash categories. 249 batting average, 17th. 317 on base, 17th. 410 slugging, 17th. Houston comes in pretty consistent as well. 254 batting average, 13th. 324 on base, 14th. 442 slugging, 13th. So slight lean towards Houston. However, Yordan Alvarez is out of the lineup, so that definitely hurts. WRC plus, we against lefties, we have Houston at 102, which is 14th in the league, and St. Louis at 107, so slightly better, 11th in the league. And both these pitchers are pitching well. Valdez has given up two or less earned runs in seven of his last nine starts, and Montgomery has given up two or less earned runs in four of his last five. So as I said, he's righted the ship a little. I still like Houston. Their order just – even without Valdez, I think their batting lineup, their order is a little stronger. Not huge, but they're going to be throwing Altuve and Bregman, two righties at start. Kyle Tucker's a lefty. Been having an average year for him, but obviously a very good hitter. Then Abreu, their cleanup hitter right now, has really been coming on this month. He's a righty. Yander Diaz as a catcher filling in, not completely, but a fair bit for Martin Maldonado as a righty hitting fifth. He's been doing well. And Jeremy Pena has had a bit of a home run surge lately. So top six in the order, I like a little better than St. Louis. They got Edmund, a switch hitter, Goldschmidt, Arenado, and two righties, obviously very good righties. And then Contreras, the catcher, who's been better after he was told he's not going to be a catcher anymore. They moved him in the outfield for a little while, and everybody blew up on that. Now he's back a catcher. And Jordan Walker and Dylan Carlson are righty and a switch hitter. Walker's been doing well. But I think Houston's got a little better depth in their order, and I like Valdez to be a little more consistent than Montgomery. So I lean Houston. Like I said, I got them at minus 110. It's minus 115. I wouldn't play it much lower than that. So I would I'd be on the Houston money line at minus 115. Wouldn't go much further than that. Now, the next game I see, I don't have any lines on this game for some reason, which is odd. Philadelphia at the Cubs, probably the win factor. Other than the fact I see Phillies at minus 130 on the money line and the home Cubbies at plus 110. Ranger Suarez, the lefty, on the bump for the Phillies, for 43 and two-thirds innings, 3.5 ERA, 1.28 whip. And Jameson Taillon, the righty for the Cubbies, 53 and two-thirds innings, 6.71 ERA, and a 1.55. When we dig a little deeper, I think I'm leaning. I'm not there yet. I'm going to wait to see where this money line goes, but I'm definitely leaning towards Philly. And when you look at Ranger Suarez, the lefty has a 4.34 expected ERA, so much worse than his 3.5 ERA, but it's just a 3.2 FIP, so actually better than his ERA. So not sure if positive and negative regression is going on, but he's pitched a lot better lately. We'll get to that in a second. Taillon, on the other hand, 6.71 ERA, but a 5.59 expected ERA. So you could say regression is due for some positive regression. Those are still bad numbers. And a 5.19 FIP. So positive regression, sure, but he's still struggling. And the Cubbies hit lefties well. 261 batting average, 11th best in the league, 336 on base, 6th best, and 438 slugging, 6th best, and a 111 WRC play, RC plus, 9th best. However, this is Ranger Suarez they're going against, who shut down Atlanta, and Atlanta is definitely the best team in triple slash line against lefties. He shut them down his last outing, 6 innings, 4 hits. They ended up losing this game, 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. Prior to that, against red-hot Arizona, at Arizona, 7 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. Prior to that, against a very good hitting Dodgers team. Not as great against lefties, but they are improving against lefties. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts. Prior to that, against Washington. Not a great team, but a good hitting team against lefties. 7 innings, 8 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. He's been dominant in the month of June. I mean, those are 4 incredible outings. Hasn't given up more than one earned run, and has gone seven innings, six innings against Washington, the Dodgers, Arizona, and Atlanta. So I like him to continue that trend, and I like him to be able to hold the Cubbies' bats in check. I'm not sure what this total is going to come out at. I got to believe, even if the wind's blowing out, we're going to get eight and a half. The wind's blowing in, so you can get seven and a half. So Taillon sure is due for some regression. I like the Philly bats, and I like Suarez. So I'm going to wait and see where this line goes. Minus 130 is probably playable. If you can get it, shop around a little. Minus 125 is even better. But going to be waiting to see where that goes. It's probably going to be on the Phillies. We move to KC for an AL Central battle between the Royals and the Cleveland Guardians. You can get the Road Guardians minus 145 and the home Royals at plus 125. And a pitcher's duel, this is not. Two young pitchers who could have good careers, but have been struggling. Well, one's been struggling and the one only had one outing, and he pitched against Oakland. That didn't go well. On the bump for Cleveland, Gavin Williams, just 5 2/3 against Oakland, 6.35 ERA, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts, 1.24. So this guy's a strikeout machine in the lower minors. One game, can't really tell, but 3 walks against Oakland is far too many. And the thing is, he's going against Kansas City, which is not a great hitting lineup. On the flip side, Singer, 76 2/3, 6.34 ERA, 1.57 whip, and 67 strikeouts, so a decent number there, just under strikeout, and he comes in with 7.87 K per nine. Singer, though, is due for some positive regression, but like I've said a couple times, bad numbers are bad numbers. 6.34 ERA, but a 5.77 expected ERA, and a 4.51 whip. So when I see that, I almost want to back Kansas City at plus 125, but their lineup is just so bad right now. Total here is 9, juice to the over at minus 120. So if this gets up to 9.5, I might look to the under. Just two horrible lineups. Singer is probably the better pitcher. Williams is a good prospect. Hard to say. You know, it was one game. Oakland's been playing, was playing better then, and they got to him. Little bad luck, perhaps, on his part. So I'm not really sure which way to go here. Definitely not backing the Guardians at minus 145. I'll be hard-pressed to back the Guardians many times this year at that big a favorite. That big a number, because they just don't score enough. And if anything, I would look to the under. Like I said, if this gets 9.5, I'd probably look towards the under. And I may consider a Kansas City money line at plus 125, but not there yet. Next game is just a pure stay away from me, but we'll go over it quick. In Colorado, the Rockies host the Dodgers. The road Dodgers minus 300, the home Rockies plus 250. Total here is 12, juice to the under at minus 115. For the Dodgers, they send their ace lefty, Clayton Kershaw, to the hill. 89 1/3 innings, 2.72 ERA, 103 strikeouts, 1.1 whip, doing his Kershaw things. And Connor Siebold, unfortunately, gets the ball for Colorado. 56 2/3, 5.88 ERA, 1.48 whip. Some positive regression due for sure, just a 4.77 expected ERA, but a 5.6 FIP, so kind of in line with ERA. There's really no play here. In fact, the only play to me is Colorado on the money line at plus 250, and that's only if you've got a lot of guts and want to take a bit of a lottery ticket. I'm not laying minus 300 with anybody. The LA run line, so they have to win by 2 runs, is minus 190. Maybe, if anything, look towards the under. Open at 11.5, it's up to 12. I just think maybe Kershaw can hold him in check. It's juiced to the under at minus 115. But stay away from me. Can't really get a feel either way. I can get a feel. I'm not laying that kind of money. I think LA wins and LA wins easy, but not really prepared to win, lay that kind of money on either side. 9:38 in the East in Los Angeles, the Angels host the Chicago White Sox. You can get the home Angels at minus 200 and the Road Sox at plus 170 purely because of the pitching matchup, which I'll get to in a second. The total here, 8.5, juice to the under at minus 120. And I would probably look to that. Open at 8.5 to 8. I've seen 51% of the bets and 89% of the money coming on the under, and I think I would lean the under. If you can get an 8.5 at a minus 115 or better, it's definitely a play. Minus 120 might even be the play here. And for the White Sox, you have Michael Kopech on the hill, 82 innings, 4.06 ERA, 94 strikeouts, 1.29 whiff. Been up and down this year. Expected ERA of 5.03, so almost a full run worse, and a FIP of 5.34, so even more than one run worse. On the flip side, Shohei Ohtani, the Angels' ace Sun Hill, 89 innings, 3.13 ERA, 117 strikeouts, 1.04 WHIP. And he has pitched a little better in his numbers, 3.34 expected ERA versus 3.13 and a 3.94 FIP. He had a couple struggle poor outings recently, but then bounced back against the Dodgers last game, 7 innings, 5 hits, an earned run, 2 walks, 12 strikeouts. Prior to that, against Texas, one of the hottest hitting lineups in baseball, at Texas, 6 innings, 6 hits, 2 earned runs, a walk. So he seems to have righted the ship. I looked at his K prop. It's at 8.5, and Chicago strikes out the most of anyone in the majors. They have a averaging 9.73 Ks per game. So certainly a prop to look at, but if anything, I'd probably look towards the under. I just don't know if Ohtani's going to be allowed to go that deep into the game. I did also look, maybe the White Sox team total under 3.5, but it is juiced down to minus 135, so shop around that. If you can get that in the minus 120s, it's probably a play. Because against righties, the Sox struggled. 231 batting average, 22nd overall. 288 on base, 30th. So they're the worst team getting on base against righties, and Ohtani's not going to allow a lot of runners. And the slugging of 386 is 20th, so they're probably not going to be hitting a lot of long balls against him either. Can't lay minus 200. Minus 105 in the run line for the Angels. Don't want to lay a negative run line with a home team. So I would probably lean towards the under, like I said, at 8.5. If you can get that minus 115, that's a good play. And maybe the White Sox under 3.5 runs is probably a decent play as well. Next game, 9:40 in the East, but it is in Oakland where the A's host the New York Yankees. You can get the road Yanks at minus 140 the money line, the home A's at plus 120. Total here is 8, juice to the over at minus 120. At first blush, when I look at the pitching matchup, I would think over, but I just don't know if Oakland can score. And the Yankees lineup right now has been brutal as well. So probably stay away on that number for me. Yankees sent Johnny Brito, they're righty to the hill. 46 innings, 4.89 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 1.37 WHIP. And outperformed his peripherals a little, 5.41 expected ERA versus a 4.89 ERA and a 5.18 FIP. So a little bit lucky, but not too much. Regardless, none of those numbers are all that great. Paul Blackburn, the righty for Oakland, has probably been their best pitcher in the last month, but just 25 and two-thirds innings, 4.21 ERA, and a 1.48 WHIP. And a little bit unfortunate, a 3.27 expected ERA, so almost run better, and an even 3.00 FIP, so better again. So definitely a better pitcher, but even with Aaron Judge out of the lineup, the Yankees' bats struggling, they're the better team. And I just can't back Blackburn in the A's at all. Pretty decent price at minus 140 for the Yankees. On the run line, plus 115. If anything, I might look there. Get a little plus money. They're on the road. They're going to get their 9 full at bats. And I don't want to be – Oakland's 1-9 in the last 10. What do the Yankees think they are? They're struggling as well, obviously. But in their last 10, 4-6, I don't usually put a lot of stock in that. But when it's Oakland doing their Oakland things, I do put a bit of stock in that. So if anything, I would look towards the Yankees. Minus 140 is a decent price on the money line. And plus 115 on the run line is probably decent as well. The second last game of the night is in Seattle, 9:40 p.m. Eastern time, where the M's host the Washington Nationals. You can get the home Mariners minus 215. And the road Nats at plus 185. Total here is under, juice to the over at minus 120. If this gets up to 8.5, I think I would go on the under. And a lot of it has to do with Seattle's pitcher, Brian Wu. Let's get to Jake Irvin first. For Washington, the righty, 42 innings, 4.71 ERA, just 33 strikeouts, and 1.52 WHIP. You're not going to survive very long if you're giving up 1.5 runners on base per inning. And he's actually outperformed his numbers. So it's 4.71 ERA, has a 4.93 expected ERA and a 4.93 FIP. So not tremendously outperformed, but also has a 7.07 K per nine, which is not that strong, obviously. Brian Wu, on the other hand, has been interesting. He got shelled in his first outing, but he comes in 17 and two-thirds innings, 5.09 ERA, just 5 walks, 25 strikeouts, and a 1.19 WHIP. And way too small a sample size, but 5.09 ERA, 2.46 expected ERA, 3.49 FIP. So he's pitched pitched better in that first game when he got shelled, has certainly led to that high ERA. When I look at WRC plus, neither of these teams are against righties. Neither of these teams are doing all that well. Washington comes in. Sorry. Got to restart my numbers here. I apologize. WRC plus against righties. Seattle comes in at 97, so 17th overall, 3% below league average. And Washington comes in at 86, so 14% below league average, 26th worst in the majors. Seattle doesn't have a great offense by any means this year. They've woken up a little. Julio Rodriguez seems to have come alive out of June. And can't lay minus 215, run line minus 110. Don't really, if I can get that run line at closer to even money, I'd probably be on that. But I think I like the under. If this thing gets up to 8.5, I definitely like the under. Yeah, Jake Irvin can give up a few runs, but I don't think Seattle's going to explode. And I think Brian Wu can shut up Washington down. So I would definitely look towards taking the M's, maybe a Wu K prop if it's in that 5.5 range. I'm not really sure. Actually, Washington doesn't strike out a lot. So probably now that I think of it, as I convince myself live, as I think about it, probably avoid that. Yeah, Washington 7.64 Ks per nine, which is the second best in the majors, and probably because they're not getting a whole lot of at bats. Oddly enough, Colorado has the best 7.54 Ks per nine, and Oakland is the fourth best 7.95. I guess you're not getting a lot of bats. You don't get a lot of strikeouts against. Anyways, I like Wu. I like Seattle. Not at minus 215 and not in a negative run line. So if anything, I would look to the under, only if it gets to 8.5. Last game of the night is a great pitcher's duel, probably the best pitcher's duel of the night in Arizona, where we have Zach Gallen for the D-backs facing Taj Bradley for Tampa. Now, I really want to lean Arizona here, but I'm not really sure I can get there yet. Arizona minus 130 in the money line favorite. The road race plus 110. Total here is 8. Juice to the over at minus 115. And if anything, I might lean the under there. These guys have both been pitching well. Bradley comes in 49 innings, 3.86 ERA, 71 strikeouts, and a 1.2 whip. And he's actually underperformed his numbers. Is a 3.25 ERA and a 2.68 FIP. Gallen, on the other hand, 9-2 overall, 98 and a third innings, 2.84 ERA, 1.09 WHIP. And when we look at his peripherals, he's outperformed. So a 3.8 expected ERA, almost a full run worse, but a 2.59 FIP, so slightly better on the FIP side. The thing with Gallen, which is interesting, I don't usually put a lot of splits in like in home away. I don't put a lot of value on home away splits, but when they're this stark, I think you kind of have to look at them. So Gallen comes in on the season 9-2 overall. At home, 7-0, 2-2 in the road. 54 innings at home, a 1.00 ERA and a 0.852 WHIP with 11.2 Ks per nine. On the road, 44 and a third innings, a 5.08 ERA, 1.36 WHIP and a 7.5 K per nine number. Clearly a way better pitcher at home. And where do you go with that? You know, minus 130 against Tampa, the best team in baseball. Not sure I can lay that. Like, I think he could shut them down, but if Bradley shuts down Arizona, who knows where we go? And Arizona's bullpen, their bullpen by committee, who knows who's going out there? And they are nowhere close to Tampa's. Now, Tampa's bullpen has not been as strong as it has in the past, definitely. But Fairbanks is back at the back end of the rotation. And I just got a tough time going against Tampa laying minus 130. Gallen has been dominant at home, and I think he could definitely get the best of Tampa here. But I see this as a low-scoring game. Two dominant pitchers, two very good pitchers. Gallen dominant at home. Right, open at 8. It's at stayed at 8, although money obviously coming in the over. If this gets up to 8.5, I'm definitely on the under. If this gets to 8.5, I'm definitely on the under because I think Gallen should shut down Tampa. Bradley can do the same. You know, this could be a 3-1, 4-2 kind of game. And Tampa's bullpen should be able to hold on, and fingers crossed for the D-backs, the bullpen. But nothing yet. As I said, probably an under if this number gets to 8.5. So hope you enjoyed the show. Broke down, I think, all 15 games, a couple games with no lines. That Cubbies game still doesn't have a number or a total. Waiting to see what the wind will do there, obviously, at Wrigley tomorrow. So hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully you got some tape, picks, some angles, some leans, some ideas how you can make money, some ideas how we can all make money, and we can have a great day in sports betting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.